In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you find yourself scratching your head right now, feeling a little confused, a little bewildered, do not worry, you are not alone. Today in our gospel reading from Luke, we are presented with what is perhaps one of the most difficult to navigate and understand parables Jesus ever told. If you turn to any biblical scholar, any theologian, any commentary on this passage, you will find the same thing. People wrestling with this perplexing story. Now, not too long ago in a sermon, I said that sometimes passages from the Bible can be read once and easily understood. But other times, they take a little more work. We might have to take a look at the larger picture, at the surrounding passages to gain some clarity. Or we might have to do some digging, some exegesis, and uncover some of the historical and cultural dynamics at play to better understand what is happening. Or to say it more plainly, as Martin Luther once did, sometimes you have to squeeze the biblical text until it leaks the gospel. Today is one of those texts that needs a little larger context, a little extra digging, that needs some squeezing. First, we need to try to understand how a part of this story might be working. It appears that the master of this story has been acting in a somewhat underhanded manner. In the time of Jesus, Jews were forbidden by law to lend money at interest, that is, to make money by charging interest to the person you loaned it to. But many people got around this by lending in kind, with oil and wheat being easy commodities to do this. It's very likely that what the manager deducts from those bills was the interest that the master had been charging. So if he reduced the bill back down to the original loan, got rid of the interest, the debtors would be delighted. This would greatly change the relationships between all the people involved. Remember that in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord's Prayer says, "For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." And now the master could do nothing without exposing his own questionable lending practices to the rest of the community. The steward took a risk, did something unexpected, did something that was not necessarily safe. The master is left admiring him and his risk-taking. We're beginning to see some more of the dynamics and subtleties of this story. Second, let's step back and take a larger look at the unfolding of the gospel. If we do this, we might begin to see certain themes emerge, certain threads running through them. Ideas about safety, expectations, and what is good. Now, Jesus has been traveling around Jerusalem, preaching God's kingdom by healing the sick, curing the lame, raising the dead, and continually setting himself up in opposition with the religious leaders and authorities of his day. The scribes and the Pharisees grumble about his preaching and his teaching. They grumble about his dinner companions being sinners and the less than desirable outcasts of society. In response to these criticisms, Jesus tells a series of parables. A man had 100 sheep. One wanders off and gets itself lost. The man, leaving the 99, hunts high and low for the lost sheep. When he finds the sheep, he gathers his friends and rejoices. God is not safe, but is always good and seeks us even when we wander. A woman has 10 silver coins. One mysteriously disappears, so she lights a lamp and turns her house upside down until she finds it. When she finds the coin, she throws a party with all of her friends, costing more than the coin's worth. God is not safe, but is always good and finds a reason to celebrate. A father had two sons. One demands his inheritance while his father is still alive. He then runs off to the city and squanders this money. When he becomes penniless, when he shames himself by working with pigs, something that would make him ritually unclean to the rest of Jewish society, he finally heads home. His father, seeing him far off, welcomes him home and throws a party to celebrate the miraculous return of his presumed dead son. But his older brother, faithful, generous, and devout, wants none of it. "This son of mine that was dead is now alive. The one who was lost is now found," says the father. God is not safe, but is always good and forgives even when we cannot. A dishonest manager is about to be fired from his mishandling of his master's property. Because he does not want to do manual labor and is too proud to ask for charity, he goes around to all the people who are indebted to his master and forgives them their debts. He does this so that they would be hospitable to him when he loses his job. He transforms a terrible situation into one that benefits him and the others. In doing this, he is actually building relationships with these people instead of simply collecting bills and commissions. Surprisingly, the master commends the manager for his shrewdness, his initiative, and his wisdom in business. God is not safe, but is always good, full of surprises, and turns our world upside down. In this series of parables, we see that Jesus defies the expectations of the people of his day and even our own expectations. We want things neat and tidy, to fit perfectly and safely into our pre-prescribed boxes. But Jesus points us towards a God who seeks the wanderer, celebrates the lost, forgives the proud, and repairs broken relationships. This is a God who certainly is not safe, but is always good. Throughout these stories, we find this good news. Jesus invites us to step out in faith, to see an outrageously generous God who lavishes generosity upon generosity on each and every one of us. We are called to do the same, to sometimes throw caution to the wind and take a risk by doing what is good. We proclaim a God who is always ready to overturn our understandings and open up new possibilities to us. The world often prizes safety over welcome, fear over compassion, division over unity. The world is too often willing to sacrifice love, compassion, and caring on the altar of safety. But God insistently points towards the good, and the good is not always safe. Jesus chose to do the good at the risk of his own safety. When the world says, "Stick to what you know," God replies, "Put out into deep waters. Imagine the possibilities." When the world says, "Follow the rule of law," God replies, "Seek compassion and mercy." When the world says, "Keep score, hold grudges," God replies, "Love your neighbor, forgive." When the world says, "Worry about yourself," God replies, "Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air." When the world says, "Take care of your own," God replies, "Just as you do to the least of these, you do to me." when the world says, come down off your cross and we will believe, God replies, forgive them. They know not what they do. The way of the world is tempting and safe, but the way of God is good and it is eternal. So today, the good news for us is that we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Those footsteps may lead us to places we may never dream or imagine we would go. But we go risking and knowing that God always walks with us, always forgives us, always loves us. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen.